morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Friday, March 23rd, 2018. We have 21 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have small craft advisory for rough conditions on the Columbia River Bar until about noontime today. We have the forecast for the Columbia River Bar is combined seas, 8 feet, easing to about 6 feet early tomorrow morning. However, they're going to build to about 11 feet during those max ebb current times. One is happening around 9:45 a.m. today and another one around 10:15 this evening. And the bar, the Columbia River Bar, is the shallow, relatively shallow sandbar ish kind of area right at the mouth of the river. There's a deep ship channel there that's dredged, but there's also some natural shallow areas there that create a lot of turbulence. And the entire volume of the Columbia River is barreling down all the way from Canada and slams into the Pacific right there, and the conditions can get pretty difficult, which is why it has its own weather forecast. Overall, around the region, in our marine weather forecast, small craft advisory for winds in effect through this afternoon, small craft advisory for hazardous seas in effect through Saturday afternoon, and that small craft advisory for winds is going to kick in again tonight into Saturday. So you can sort of see the weather moving through by the changes in the advisories. We have little breaks between weather systems moving through. And if you look at, I have a bunch of weather apps on my phone, so I'm kind of a weather geek, and you can see those little weather blobs of weather moving through that bring us sometimes different winds from different directions and rain and hail, and it's going to be kind of exciting, a little bit exciting in terms of weather today on the coast, as we never really know quite what's going to happen, which is kind of fun. I suppose if you look at it that way, we have southwest winds in the forecast, 15 to 20 knots, gusting to 25, so a bit breezy today. Wind waves from the southwest, 5 feet at 6 seconds, and northwest swells, 7 feet at about 12 seconds between wave crests. So if you were out there in a boat, you would be able to count about 12 seconds between the peaks of the waves, which would be about 7 feet high. The swells that are coming to us from way further out to sea. So we always have those local wind waves that are caused by local winds here on the coast, and then we have those swells. So there's always at least two sets of forces acting out there on the water. And the swells come from sometimes from as far away as Japan. There's lots of energy being transferred through the ocean that manifests itself as those swells that arrive here. Let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 5 inbounders, 11 in the Astoria and Rice Island anchorages, and 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river was a ship that just went by a little while ago, the USNS Charles Drew. She's a military sea lift command vessel. And she was, there was an outbound ship that was passing her. It's kind of an unusual thing to see on the river, two ships passing one another. It's something that can't be done everywhere on the river. So they try to time it, arrange it so that ships will pass one another in a safe, wide place. And off the Columbia River, even though the ship channel isn't terribly wide, there's room to, there's a little bit of wiggle room here off Astoria, so that can be a safe place for ships to pass one another. But in some of the more curvy and narrow areas upriver, ships try to avoid passing one another in some of those places. So all the things that you see on the river are in general carefully planned by ships and pilots, because they plan way ahead, hours and hours ahead, how they're going to do things and how it's all going to happen. So that's why generally accidents and things are very, very rare on the Columbia, because people really do think ahead. And you have to think ahead in a gigantic vessel that has no brakes, as I like to say. A lot. It's like you really do have to have your ducks in a row when you're out there. And our mariners do here, so that's a really good thing. So the USNS Charles Drew, big gray military-looking ship. She's owned by the Navy, but she's part of the Military Sea Lift Command, which is our ships that act in support of active duty vessels. So they're generally cargo ships of some kind. They can be tankers, they can be cargo carriers, they can be vehicle carriers. The Charles Drew is a dry cargo ship, so she's like a bulk carrier, probably more, instead of cargo holds of wheat, maybe more break bulk cargo, like pallets of things, items, boxes, equipment, things like that. She's headed for Swan Island, and that's pretty typical for Military Sea Lift Command vessels. They're kind of home ported there, or laborthed there is the term, where they need a ship needs a place to come in and stay and change crews and get supplies, and so they will contract with the shipyard at Swan Island to make a berth available. And so you'll see these USNS, you'll see that that acronym in their name coming into the river quite often going up to Swan Island. So she'll be up there probably in early mid-afternoon. The AM Quebec is next inbound. She's arriving from Japan, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She's a wheat ship. She will pass Astoria maybe or will arrive in the anchorage there maybe about 12:30. The New Pride is arriving from Japan. She's also arriving in the Astoria Anchorage maybe around 1 o'clock. The Danusa is arriving from South Korea. She's headed for Astoria's anchorage. She's another wheat ship, probably be there about 5:30 p.m. The Marlin V is arriving from Ferndale. She'll be passing Astoria around maybe 5:30 p.m., and she'll anchor at Crims Island, which is just before Longview on the river, so maybe she'll be there by about 8 p.m. In the Astoria and Rice Island anchorage, we have, the New Pride will be there until about 4 p.m. when she'll head up to Longview to pick up wheat. The Pacific, so then we have some ships awaiting orders. The Pacific Constant, the Belle Island, the Medi Newport, the Pañata Cay, the Golden Daisy, the Omicron Light, the Cavo Alcyon, the MP Ultramax 1, the Falmouth Bay, and the Energy G. So it's really kind of fun to go over the Astoria Megler Bridge right now and look upriver because you see this row of ship after ship after ship out there, which is very fun. And a lot of them are wheat ships, so we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But let's look at our outbounders. The Spring Progress is leaving Vancouver, wheat on board at about maybe 1:30. She'll pass Astoria then at about 7:30 p.m. The Serba is leaving Longview with wheat on board around 3:30. She'll be passing Astoria outbound then maybe about maybe 6 o'clock. The New Boundary is leaving Vancouver with wheat on board around 9 a.m. She'll pass Astoria outbound around maybe 3:30 p.m. The New Century 1 is a car carrier with Toyotas on board. Little break from wheat ships. She's leaving around 2 p.m., could pass Astoria outbound around 8. And we have the articulated tug and barge, the Dublin Sea. You see her a lot on our waters. Heading out of Portland with refined petroleum. She'll pass Astoria. She'll leave there about 3:30. That would put her past Astoria maybe around 9:30 this evening. Well, I've been talking with you about how many ships on the river over the past few days have been wheat ships. I mean, we send a lot of wheat out of here, but we have had, boy, yesterday, all but one or two of our ships were all wheat carriers. They were either coming in to pick up wheat or they were heading downriver with wheat on board. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk a little bit about wheat on the Columbia. So the Columbia Snake River system, which goes all the way to Lewiston, Idaho, and so up to Portland, that's what we're talking about, up to Portland, it's deep draft ships. Inland from Portland, it's tugs and barges, and so in terms of grain handling. So there are 7 export terminals on the Columbia River. There are 26 upcountry grain barge loading terminals along 360 miles of navigable river. So inland from Portland, the grain comes down from that sort of breadbasket area of the inland west on tugs and barges to Portland and Vancouver where it, and Longview, where it is loaded onto ships. And so there may be some wheat coming into Longview on trains as well. So those are the sort of the feeder areas that the trains and the barge, tug and barge traffic load, bring those raw materials into places like the ports right on the lower Columbia River that can handle ships. And then those shipments go overseas. Where do they go? Well, 44% goes to East Asia, mainly Japan, Korea, and Taiwan. 36% is to Southeast Asia, mainly the Philippines, Indonesia, and Thailand. And 10% goes to the Middle East, and another 10% to Latin America, mainly Guatemala, El Salvador, and Chile. And so, anyway, wheat has been being shipped on the Columbia since the 1800s, and will continue. There's a lot of wheat out there, and it's all going to lots of places to feed people. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.